We haven't inaugurated this president. We're talking about 2020 because it's easy to write about.
I'm not talking about it. Inaugurated? We haven't even certified him yet.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Not scared at all.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the
From Pacifica
with
Radio
you.
In Los Angeles, and this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., up in Oregon on 91.7 FM KYAQ on the Central Coast, 106.7 FM Queso in Cottage Grove, on 93 FM WLRI News Radio in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, on 88.5 FM KAKU, the voice of Maui in Hawaii, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN 94.1 FM, in Palenville, New York on 102.9 FM WLPP, and in Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We're also heard coast to coast and around the globe, streaming on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR Revolution 99, Detour Talk, Radio Monterey, and Radio Sputnik, amongst others, blanketing planet Earth 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you for joining us for another thrilling action-packed adventure, and it probably will be, given the fact that we have Desi Doyen changed our show, our guests, at least three or four times so far today.
So you're blaming that on me, eh?
No, I'm not blaming it on you. That, of course, is Desi Doyen, our producer, so she is to blame for everything that goes wrong. But no, not blaming it on you. News continues to change.
Another news volcano day.
Well, a news volcano day, but not the news that most people are looking at. I guess Donald Trump is meeting with the New York Times today, and for some reason it's news when someone considered to be a president-elect meets with the New York Times. Apparently he's backed off his criticism of Hillary Clinton and of climate change, by the way. That could be good news.
Could be. Actions speak louder than words.
Indeed they do.
Me.
And we will find out what those actions are. Although, you know what? In truth, you can look everywhere else for those actions and those words, because they're all, the mainstream corporate media is all following, you know, Donald Trump around, whatever he's doing, whatever he's tweeting, instead of bothering to dig into what is actually going on and, frankly, what I think Americans should be concerned about. So we're going to figure this show out as we move forward today. I suspect we'll have more on this particular topic that I'm about to talk about on tomorrow's broadcast as well. But for now, as long promised, we continue to keep our eye on the track conditions as much as the horse race itself when it comes to elections. The horse race is one thing, but the track conditions on which they are running can make all of the difference. And we've got some new developments that I can share today, with more likely, as I say, to come in the next day or so in regard to the presidential election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. So, as I mentioned there in the opening, no, this election has not been certified by the states yet, much less by the Electoral College. They don't cast their vote until December 19. So this election is not over, despite what the rest of the corporate media, you know, the way they're following Donald Trump around in their various scrums. This is not completed, and it will not be completed until the Electoral College actually casts its votes for president on December 19th. And frankly, that's the earliest that this election may be over, given the twists and turns that we have seen this year. So Hillary Clinton, her concession means nothing. Let me just make that clear. It means it has no legal meaning. It is a political nicety after unofficial election results come in. Candidates like to say, "Oh, it looks like we lost. I'm conceding. My competitor ran a great race, and thank you all. We didn't have enough to win, etc." So Hillary Clinton has gone through that.
But it has zero legal force.
Has zero legal meaning. Correct. So, for example, if thousands and thousands of votes showed up out of nowhere in enough states that the Electoral College would then go to Hillary Clinton, so long as those Electoral College electors have not yet cast their ballots, that could change everything. Now, I've got some news on vote counting. No, not thousands and thousands of ballots showing up, but some news on some of the vote counting that is still ongoing in pretty much all of the states. Remember, all of the numbers that the media is working with when they call Donald Trump the president-elect, he's not the president-elect. He has not been even elected by the Electoral College. That's how it works in this country constitutionally, whether you like it or not. Yes, reportedly, she received several, almost 2 million votes now than Donald Trump. There's a lot more still being counted, particularly out here in California. So the popular vote is going to increase. She is most likely going to win by several millions of votes over Donald Trump. But that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the state-by-state Electoral College numbers, according to our Constitution. Now, so this counting continues. Provisional ballots are being counted. Absentee ballots are being counted. They will all be counted, not just if the race is close, as some people think. Provisional ballots, of course, they'll only be counted if they can confirm that the voter who cast that provisional ballot was properly, legally registered and so forth. So we've got so all of that is going on. I've got some news regarding Wisconsin today in particular, and some news regarding the possibility of maybe filing for hand counts, recounts in a number of the states that I've been discussing on this program of late, that frankly I've been discussing since Election Day. Now, this is not just me looking at this and looking at these numbers and saying and screaming loudly that we need to publicly count the ballots, at least the hand-marked paper ballots that have been cast that we can count, that we need to publicly count those ballots to determine if they were tabulated correctly or not. I'm happy to say it's not just me saying it. There's more and more people are saying it as they are looking at these numbers, finding various anomalies. Now, I've spoken to a lot of folks over the past week or so, and even more in the past 24 hours or so, some on record, some not. Like I say, I think there may, emphasis on may be some more news on hand counting, on recounting in the days ahead. But just to help set the table for the moment, again, I'm going to focus here on three states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. And in Wisconsin, it's hard to get the official numbers in all of these places, actually, because they change. In Wisconsin, for example, they do county by county, but essentially it's about 27,000 votes initially, in any event, separated Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump won that state, according to those unofficial numbers, by about 25,000 votes out of almost 3 million votes cast. In Pennsylvania, the latest numbers from the Pennsylvania Secretary of State shows that Trump won Pennsylvania by about 70,000 votes out of almost 6 million cast in Pennsylvania. You had some strange numbers there. I'll get to some Wisconsin numbers in a second. But in Pennsylvania, for example, Luzerne County went for Obama by 5% in 2012. But it went for Donald Trump by 20% in 2016, according to the numbers. That's a 25 percentage point swing between 2012 and 2016. Were the ballots counted correctly there? We don't know. In much of Pennsylvania, by the way, we may never know because they use 100% unverifiable touchscreens across that entire state. not across that, across much of that state. So we may never be able to know how the voters of Pennsylvania actually intended to vote on Election Day. All right, in Michigan, Michigan is the closest now of these three states. Just over 13,000 votes in Michigan separate Trump and Clinton. Trump is up, according to these unofficial numbers, by just over 13,000 out of 4.5 million cast. All told, we're talking about 100,000 votes. Just over 100,000 votes now in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan out of more than 13 million votes cast in those three states. So in other words, in those three states, if 50,000 votes were recorded for Donald Trump instead of for Hillary Clinton, that is enough to take 50,000 from her and give 50,000 to him. That is enough for him to end up winning those three states and thus winning the Electoral College. If he were to lose those three states, if those were to flip back into Hillary Clinton's column in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, and it would take all three of them, or some combination of some of the others, with North Carolina, Florida. In North Carolina, there's a recount going on in the governor's race. The Republican governor, who appears to have lost there by a narrow margin, is calling for recounts in a number of counties. I support that call. I hope that he calls for hand-counted ballots where they exist in North Carolina, rather than running them through the machine, because right now in North Carolina, according to election law, they've just run the same paper ballots through the same machines that counted them, optically scanned them correctly or incorrectly in the first place. We don't know. We don't know unless they are hand counted. So running them through the same machines doesn't necessarily get you anywhere. All right. So that's the playing field that we're working on. That is what election integrity experts and computer scientists are looking at. Those three states and others, and for good reason. For example, in Outagamie County, Wisconsin, on Election Day, there's a number of towns. It's a small county, a little over 100,000 voters there in Outagamie County. Now, remember, we're only talking about 25,000 votes separating Trump and Clinton in Wisconsin. But in this county, Outagamie, about 100,000 voters there. The town of Grand Chute, let's see, on Election Day, according to the county and their computer printouts from Election Day itself, total ballots cast in Grand Chute, 3,088 in that one little town of Grand Chute alone, 3,088 votes. In the presidential race, there was 4,214 votes cast.
Wait, what?
That's right. There was 1,200 more votes cast in the presidential race than were actually cast in total.
More votes than
according
voters?
According to, well, not more votes than voters necessarily in this case, but they list on their computer printout total ballots cast, 3,088. Total president, vice president ballots cast, 4,214.
Oh.
That doesn't make sense. Similarly, you had numbers like that. Well, here, Bear Creek in the same town, same county of Outagamie, 143 total ballots cast, 144 total presidential ballots cast. So one more vote than voters in that small town. And in Hortonville, 1,516 votes total ballots cast, according to the county. 1,516 ballots cast total, but in the presidential race, 1,949.
So several
votes cast.
To make sure I understand this correctly, several hundred more votes were cast for just the presidential race than any of the other.
Well, then were said to have been
cast
in
all.
Total, right?
Oh.
Now, maybe there's a reasonable explanation for this. Whatever this reasonable explanation is, we do not know at this time. Here is what we do know, however, at this time. Dan Solomon, who writes for Texas Monthly and some other places, posts on Twitter today these very same computer printouts, but today's version of them, the newest numbers, the same printouts. And in this case, as Dan Solomon points out, he says, okay, this is very significant. Outagamie County released the official vote tally at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. I guess that's the certified tally now coming in from Outagamie. The discrepancy that I just cited, those three different towns, no longer exists. As he points out, you can see that the town of Grand Chute, all 1,126 extra votes that had been put out there were apparently for Trump. Clinton's total now stays the same. So for some reason, they've corrected this. We don't yet have an explanation, but more than 1,000 votes, all of them originally, for some reason, recorded for Donald Trump. Same deal, he says, in Hortonville. Donald Trump's number is now down by 400 votes in Hortonville. Clinton's numbers are unchanged. The ballots, the total number of ballots cast now matches the number of votes counted in the presidential race. Solomon goes on to say, what this means is that Trump's margin of victory in one Wisconsin county with fewer than 100,000 voters is now down by 1,500 votes. That's about 1.5%. He says this is significant. A state that Trump won by around, he's putting it now at 22,000 votes in the initial count, but it only matters if Clinton calls for a recount, says Dan Solomon, who tweets as Dan Solo on Twitter. So it only matters if Clinton or someone, and by the way, any candidate could call for a recount. It doesn't have to be Hillary Clinton. It could be Jill Stein of the Green Party. It could be Gary Johnson of the Libertarians, or whoever else was on the Wisconsin ballot. But it would be expensive, but they could call for a recount. He goes on to write, to be clear, certified results in just one Wisconsin county bring Trump's margin of victory down by almost 7%. We don't yet know what about the others. We don't know why the initial tally had more votes tallied than ballots cast. But in this county, that has now been corrected, he says. That has been corrected, I should note, according to the election officials. Or at least according to the election results printed out by the computers, the same computers that clearly printed incorrect numbers on election day or election night. He notes after a full recount, if that happens, Outagamie County may end up as an outlier. Maybe everywhere else in the state is fine. He says we don't know enough yet, but the margin is small and getting smaller. And again, he reiterates, it only matters if Clinton asks for a recount. And I will reiterate, it only matters if someone asks for a recount. Doesn't have to be Clinton. Clinton's campaign, he says, has given no indication that they will. He also says, just to be clear here, we don't know the why here. Just that the official count is different from the unofficial one that we had yesterday. That is true. And that is not the only county in Wisconsin with those kind of strange numbers, inexplicable numbers, numbers that I would argue that I have been arguing for over a decade now, demand that actual human beings oversee the count and make sure the ballots are counted as the voters intended them to be counted. And that is something we don't know. And again, I'm not the only one looking at this. I'm happy to say there are others looking at it as well. It is not just me for a happy change. And we're going to talk to someone else who is looking at these very same numbers and who is also talking to others who are looking at these very same numbers after this. You're not going to want to go away. Hope you're still buckled up. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast.
If they can count 424 billion for war, why can't they count our votes?
Why can't they?
If they can count thousands of bombs and still be.
I keep asking.
Why can't they count our vote?
Why can't they? Why can't we count our vote? Why can't we oversee the counting so we can stop playing all of these guessing games? Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Steve Rosenfeld over at Alternet a few days ago wrote this. He said, a series of explanation-defying questions surrounding Donald Trump's victories in key 2016 swing states has prompted a cadre of voting rights attorneys and electronic voting machine experts to consider formally filing for presidential recounts in coming days. These recount-justifying anomalies go beyond the discrepancies in media exit polls predicting a Hillary Clinton victory on November 8 and subsequent vote counts where Trump won states that have not backed Republican presidents for decades. Recounts could clarify or verify, that would be nice, whether several different forms of electronic hacking could have padded state voter rolls and altered resulting counts. I would also add to what my friend Stephen writes there that these counts would also clarify or verify whether there were simply errors in the vote counts, as is often the case in these matters, or whether it was insider manipulation that could have changed the results. It does not have to be electronic hacking per se. Here to talk about all of this, and I suspect much more, as we head towards the holidays, when a lot of news may be breaking over a week that is usually quiet, is Steve Rosenfeld. He covers national politics for Alternet, including America's retirement crisis, democracy and voting rights, and campaigns and elections. He's also the author of Count My Vote, A Citizen's Guide to Voting. Steve Rosenfeld, welcome back to the Bradcast, my friend.
Oh, yes, it's a pleasure. Great to hear you.
Great to hear you and to talk to you as we all try to figure out what the hell happened 2 weeks ago. I know you're speaking with a lot of people about what happened, trying to unwind what actually happened. In the previous segment, I talked a little bit about Outagamie, Wisconsin, and the fact that it turns out there were several thousand more votes, 100 or 1,000 more votes in several towns that were initially recorded than were actually cast. And some of that has been clarified now. But Outagamie, Wisconsin, was not the only place where we're seeing these sort of anomalous numbers.
That's right. And this is stuff that's literally surfacing today as we speak. It's coming up through academics who are posting stuff on their Twitter accounts, and what they're posting are screenshots of the electronically calculated countywide results. And what they're showing is that the number of votes that are being tallied or ascribed to that county in one line is larger than the number in another line where it says ballots cast. So the county you just mentioned, the number was roughly 1,500 when it was first reported.
It was Outagamie, yes. Wisconsin, right?
And then there was another tweet that said, oh, that had been corrected or deleted or who knows what. And another county, Sauk County, there were 2,700 more votes that were ascribed than to the final tally than ballots cast. Now, this was not posted by a tin hat conspiracy theorist. This was posted by Michael McDonald, a University of Florida assistant professor who is the national expert on voter turnout, the guy who the New York Times, the Washington Post, NPR, and everybody goes to understand what is going on. So,
we have had Michael on this show in the past to talk about these things. Just to give an example here in Sauk County, the report of votes cast on election night itself around 1 a.m. showed that 31,838 ballots were cast. But then in the presidential race, you have 34,577 votes. So somewhere about 3,000 votes showed up. And remember, we're talking about in Wisconsin, where the results were about 25,000 between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Now, none of this means, and I want your thoughts on this, none of this means necessarily either the election was stolen in Wisconsin or that Hillary Clinton actually won Wisconsin. But these are some, you know, pretty disturbing numbers. And as you note, cited by some real election pros today.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We have to break this down really carefully. And unfortunately, this gets complex. These totals may not include same-day voter registration.
Mm-hmm.
That Wisconsin is one of those states where somebody just gets up and they're a resident and they've got the right ID. They can show up and say, hey, let me register and give me a ballot,
right,
and they will get one. So that is a possible explanation. But these, usually you don't have stampedes of thousands of people at a time showing up, although presidential elections are the highest turnout elections. So the big question here is, or the big point here is, we don't really know still what the actual count is. And that's really the big question, mm-hmm, is how do we get that assurance.
And let me note here that some of these were being posted today. I've been talking to folks who have been looking at these, and I know you have as well, for the last week or two. And in fact, there was some concern early on that there was that it was showing more votes than registered voters. But some of those numbers were early registration numbers prior to same-day registration. But in this case, some of these cases, we're talking about not numbers of registered voters, but we're talking about actual numbers of ballots cast being less than the number of votes cast in the presidential race.
Yeah, so again, everybody listening to this program,
mm-hmm,
and you and I too,
yep,
we have our own thoughts about what happened, but we really don't know,
right,
what happened. If we're going to be honest and fair, we don't know what happened. We have our suspicions, and we seize data points, and we think, oh, this dot connects to this, and this dot connects to that. And what is happening is, people who have been around some of these things for a longer time, mm-hmm, actually, say, well, that's more likely, that's less likely. But really, what we don't have is a clear process, a patient process,
mm-hmm,
where we can really figure out, who voted and trace it. Because if you know that, you start answering questions like, was it voter ID or something, that stopped, high African American turnout in Minneapolis,
mm-hmm,
and in Detroit? Or was it a lousy candidate? We don't know. Or in the rural areas,
I'm not even talking about why Hillary Clinton may have lost, why Donald Trump may have won. I'm talking about if she lost, if he won,
yes,
and that's
exactly
the thing that we don't know because we don't publicly hand count paper ballots.
Well, yes, you are completely right. We're in 100% agreement there. And I think that, people want to know that. They also want to know why and who voted. And, and again, it's almost as if, it's not almost, the most important part of this process, mm-hmm, remains invisible, which is the part that people, turn to wanting to trust.
The counts, the results,
the counting
numbers remains invisible. And that's even where there are paper ballots cast, where hand-marked paper ballots are cast. I'm speaking with Steve Rosenfeld of Alternate.org, whose article is headlined this week, "A Fair Election? Serious, hard-to-explain questions arise about Trump vote totals in three key states." I want to talk about those key states in a moment, Steve, but just to underscore the point, since we were mentioning Michael McDonald of the Election Project, when he posted these Sauk County numbers today, he said, "It doesn't garner public confidence to see errors like this in election results, especially in a close battleground state. He points out Clinton has a right to ask for a Wisconsin recount. AP reports Trump's margin is a little more than one point. If it's less than 0.5, the state pays for a hand count, a recount in any event. If it's greater than 0.5, the campaign does. He goes on to say, my guess is that Wisconsin Trump leads, Trump leads narrows when provisional ballots are counted, that they wouldn't be enough by themselves, but that the Clinton campaign is monitoring this. So if they think Wisconsin results merit recount, they will do so. I'm not so sure that they will do so. It, I believe, does take a candidate to actually file in Wisconsin and some of these other states. But what are the three key states that you cite in your article at Alternet that you're concerned about?
Okay. It's not just that I'm concerned about. Voting rights attorneys, mm-hmm. computer voting, you know, experts, mm-hmm. you know, people with PhDs who know software, voting, and things like that, who have been tracking this since 2004 in Ohio and who also participated in the 2000 recount in Florida. These are not people who are new to this issue. Mm-hmm. Have been talking in increasingly hectic conference calls and meetings in the starting last week mm-hmm. about, is it possible to file for a recount in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania? The approaching deadline for filing in Wisconsin would be Friday. Under Wisconsin law, mm-hmm. the hurdles to actually filing have become harder because the Republican-controlled legislature and Republican Governor Scott Walker mm-hmm. signed legislation making it so. So what's been going on is there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes talk about how to, and organizing about how to raise, it would literally cost $2 million per state to do this. $1 million in filing fees just to have the recounts, and then a second mm-hmm. $1 million for legal teams to monitor this and train up local observers and everything like that. And it's a really high bar. It would come against, you can imagine the noise and ruckus it would cause. Mm-hmm. And it's not likely to change the outcome because if you think about it, you have to reverse three states. It's not one.
But well, in other words, when you say it's unlikely to reverse the outcome, that we don't know until we count the ballots.
Know,
but we'd have to do it in all three states to change
the
electoral college.
So the thing about this is, but the thing is, it's not even necessarily about, the lawyers and the attorneys who are looking at this have found a series of anomalies, just like the ones you've been talking about earlier in the show. These mm-hmm. these printouts that show, that show incongruities between ballots cast and votes tallied. Mm-hmm. Those are not the only ones. But there's a lot of preliminary evidence that sort of raises the question: what happens? Those two counties you talked about in Wisconsin are two of 12 mm-hmm. where the voter turnout was above 85%. Well, that's really high. Now, these are rural counties. You know, people want to go into these towns and say, go into a coffee shop and say, did you vote? Did you vote? If they find 5 or 10 people who said they didn't, then something else is wrong. What you get is a whole bunch of things like that elicit different scenarios. There was very high absentee ballot returns, record-breaking, in Wisconsin mm-hmm. and Michigan. Mm-hmm. People are wondering, did the Russians somehow figure out a way to, fabricate people who got absentee ballots? This sounds really far-fetched, mm-hmm. but this is what some of these lawyers were talking about. They're talking to people who are talking to former spies.
Right.
We're saying this is possible. And now this is crazy-sounding stuff, really crazy-sounding stuff. There's stuff that's in Pennsylvania that's a little more concrete. There are 16 rural counties where Trump won. Now, Pennsylvania, it's a much bigger margin. He won. Mm-hmm. He's ahead by 68,000 votes. Where the central tabulators, which means the county-wide totals mm-hmm. are calculated there, are machines that have, academics going back almost 10 years have shown, you know, are easily hackable. You know, and
let me underscore something there, Steve, because this is I know a lot of folks, you know, they're looking at this right now, and, you know, considering whether money can be raised for a hand count, recount in these various states. But some of the people you describe, the people you're talking to, you mentioned in your story, teams of voting rights attorneys and electronic voting machine experts are the folks that you're talking to. Actually, let me put this two different ways. One, I know that verifiedvoting.org, these are folks who have, you know, been studying electronic voting for years. They are world-class computer security experts at, you know, some of the nation's most prestigious schools and universities and laboratories and so forth. They're calling for audits. They filed a petition calling for audits in a number of these states over at change.org. These are some very serious computer scientists and security experts. These are not folks who cry wolf about every, you know, election integrity concern. You're speaking with a lot of folks. Are the folks you're talking to, are they some of the same folks who have declared elections stolen in the past, like the Sanders-Clinton primary, for which I have seen not much persuasive evidence, to be frank? Or is this other folks that you are speaking to, as I am?
The short answer is we're talking to the same serious people. And here's the difference. Some of the people at a group like Verified Voting, mm-hmm. because they're a 501c3, a nonprofit, and because they're cautious, and because, you know, they've got deep roots in Silicon Valley and in academia, want to follow the political process and say, we just need audits. It's a longer-term fight. It's beyond this presidential election. Some of the people who are on their advisory boards or have been on their advisory boards in the past are saying, I am doing this on my own. It has nothing to do with my relationship to Verified Voting, but I can tell you that we identify in North Carolina that the company that had the contract for the North Carolina state voter registration roll was hacked by the Russians this summer. That was pointed out by the FBI. You know, so they're saying, like, you know, what? So, you know, so it goes beyond just the some of these groups. Some of these lawyers I'm talking to, they're MacArthur Genius Award winners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, these are not flakes.
Right.
And now there are people who are flaky. And
right.
There are people who are out there who will, I mean, I don't want to mention any names. There are people out there who every year or every 4 years say the election is going to be stolen. It's going to be stolen this particular way. And they get a lot of press and they get a lot of attention. And, you know, because there's so many things that are wrong
mm-hmm.
and unfair and structurally deficient with, you know, the way we run elections,
right.
They're not exactly wrong in pointing out that the meta patterns, the big narrative, is unchanged. But the specifics they cite, just, you know, in the latest wave of self-promotion, are not accurate. So I'm being a little bit evasive here, but the thing is, the people who really have their act together and know this stuff are saying we should have recounts in some of these key states. And the question is, can they raise? It's $2 million a state.
Well,
it's $1 million for filing in Wisconsin.
Right, $1 million filing, and then attorneys' fees are going to be very expensive. They're going to have to move very quickly. But Steve, I got to get out here, but you're right. And listen, I don't mean to disparage. I know you don't either. Anybody who's looking at this stuff, but it's the difference between saying the election was stolen versus the election could be stolen and that we don't know until we count the goddamn paper ballots.
And the thing is, Brad, here's the thing. If you back out of the stolen election rhetoric, I don't, mm-hmm. you know, it's simply this. We saw, as you discussed on the show already, different reports showing up on Twitter today of screenshots showing that the machinery
yeah.
is not saying that 1 + 1 = 2.
Right.
And these machines are running on Windows 98 and Windows 2000 platforms.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take, by the way, hackers from any country. There can be insiders do this. It can be simply error. And I've mentioned this many times on the show. Wisconsin back in 2012, and I'm forgetting the name of the town, but they had a ballot referendum to overturn Citizens United. About 15,000 people voted that day, and that referendum item received 16 votes. Period. 16 votes out of some 15,000 votes cast. And obviously that was so wrong. They said, wait a minute, something went wrong here. They went back. They did a hand count. They determined that the memory card had been misprogrammed. And in fact, it turned out 12 or 13,000 people had voted in that race. But they wouldn't have known that, except the error was so off that they forced them to do a hand count of the paper ballots. When we have similar errors, again, forget hackers and bad guys, just errors could be leading to these numbers here. And when it's so close in states like Wisconsin and Michigan and even Pennsylvania, the question is, why the hell don't we count the ballots? And I guess that's what's going to be on the plates of a number of people over the next few hours as they determine whether a hand count is worth it, whether the money can be raised in time for these impending deadlines. The first one is in Wisconsin on Friday. Steve, before I let you go here, any other thoughts you want to get in here about this entire fine mess that you and I both rail against year after year after year, because we should not be playing these guessing games in the supposedly greatest democracy the world has ever seen.
Well, I, like everybody else, would like to really know what happened. And I can accept the results if I know that they're true and accurate. And I can then move on to think about what we need to do better or different to fight another day. But what I find, personally unnerving, and when I look at this issue and I keep coming back to it year after year after year, mm-hmm. is that, look, no big system is going to be flawless. Big systems have flaws, mm-hmm. and people, and well-intended people do the best they can. But, we have an election infrastructure that has been intentionally kept rickety, just like our campaign finance system has been kept rickety. It doesn't provide reassuring results. Now maybe that works, mm-hmm. and benefits the people who are in power,
yeah.
the governing class, however mm-hmm. you want to characterize it. But it's not very reassuring for citizens who get very emotionally invested. And, these elections matter. I mean, yep. People might be protesting in the streets today, but my gosh, November 8th was when it really counted. So let's make sure that what counts, that people's votes are accurately counted.
And that's just a crazy idea, Steve Rosenfeld. Check out his crazy work at alternet.org, where he covers elections, national politics, and everything else. Steve, I suspect we'll be talking more in the days yep. ahead. A lot is moving here. And yes, the idea that we need to be able to publicly hand count our goddamn ballots needs to stop being a radical, cry from people like you and I. Thanks, Steve, and we'll talk in the days ahead. Appreciate all you do, and thanks for joining us today.
Sure, sure. It's my pleasure. Bye now.
You bet. Yeah, democracy really should not be this hard.
Nobody said democracy is supposed to be easy. It's hard. And in a big country like this, it probably should be hard.
Maybe, but not this hard. It should not be this hard to simply oversee our votes and know that the person who was declared the winner is actually the one who received the most votes. That part should be easy, but it is not. So it's a little bit maddening. So as I have warned, buckle up and stay buckled up. Quick break, and we're back with more broadcast right after this.
Buckle up for safety, buckle up. buckle up for safety. Always buckle up.
Yes.
Pull your seat belt snug. Give an extra tug. Buckle up for safety. Buckle up.
Yes, buckle up when you're listening to the Bradcast, apparently. Welcome back to it. I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Okay, more on that story, as I say, in the days ahead, I think. But to be clear, I don't know what's going to happen. Yes, I have been talking to some folks. Steve Rosenfeld has been talking to some folks. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff right now that is on the record, off the record, as we're trying to figure out what can be done, what will be done. I hope you'll pardon me if I've had to, if you have to read between some of the lines today. Of course, we're reading between the, ballots, frankly. And I don't know, even if there is a full hand count in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, the numbers may be absolutely right as currently reported. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump may end up winning by more than he is currently named as the winner unofficially in those three states. We don't know, but we should not have these types of questions. That's all I'm saying. That's all I've ever been saying.
Well, and one of the things that you say that I think is also really important is that, hey, yeah, it may be that Donald Trump or Pat McCrory in North Carolina or any of these other people that you may not politically agree with, they may actually win if we actually stopped to count the ballots.
But, you know, I spent 8 years of the George W. Bush administration not knowing who actually won that election. I mean, we actually know now that had they bothered to count all of the ballots, swinging Chad, pregnant Chad, or otherwise in the state of Florida, Al Gore would have probably been the president in the year 2000. In 2004, we know even less because of what happened in the state of Ohio and how they made it impossible for the people who actually wanted to count the ballots. And we had paper ballots that could have been counted in Ohio, but they were destroyed. They weren't counted. And even the post-election audit that was held across the state, the Green Party of Ohio, the Green Party and the Libertarian Party filed for recounts in Ohio. But the way the recount law works there is that they only count 3% of the ballots that are supposed to be chosen randomly in each county. And if the county hand counts of those 3% don't match up, then they're supposed to do a full countywide hand count. Well, guess what? In Cuyahoga County, the largest Democratic county in the state, largest county in the state, that's Cleveland, two of the election officials there were eventually convicted of having gamed that 3% supposedly random hand count. It was not random at all. They pre-selected and pre-counted the counties, the 3% of precincts, I should say, in the county that they were going to count publicly. They did it the night before
to make sure that it would match up.
To make sure that it would match up so they wouldn't have to count the rest of the county. And so those two election officials were convicted. The county clerk, who the judge thought had to have been in on the scheme, guy by the name of Michael Vu, was eventually tossed out of Cuyahoga County. He's now the registrar of voters down in San Diego County, California. So he failed upward. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, but I just want to make this one point, though. It's not actually election integrity if it only matters to you when your candidate loses.
That's right. Well, that's right. And I'm hated by all parties alike because I, you know, for example, in North Carolina, when I called for and I am calling for a hand count of those ballots in North Carolina in the in the governor's race, where it looks like the Republican lost, he and his voters deserve to know whether he actually won or lost. Period.
Just like all of us deserve to know.
Just like all of us. Yeah. And
to
not spend the next 4 years wondering if Donald Trump really won the presidency or not. That's all we're asking. That's all I'm asking in any event. Now, I've been asked about via email at bradcast@bradblog.com. You can drop me an email. I've been asked about this petition that was filed at change.org. The title of the petition, Electoral College, Make Hillary Clinton President on December 19th. And apparently it's the fastest growing petition in history over at change.org. It was filed by a guy named Elijah Berg. It has so far received more than 4.5 million signatures. That was the original goal, is 4.5 million. It has reached that signature. The new goal is 6 million. But the petition says on December 19, the electors of the Electoral College will cast their ballots. If they all vote the way their states voted, Donald Trump will win. However, they can vote for Hillary Clinton if they choose. Even in states where that is not allowed, their vote would still be counted in the Electoral College. They would simply pay a small fine, which we can be sure Clinton supporters will be glad to pay. We are calling on the electors to ignore their state's votes and cast their ballots for Secretary Clinton. Why? Mr. Trump is unfit to serve. His scapegoating of so many Americans, his impulsivity, bullying, lying, admitted history of sexual assault, and utter lack of experience make him a danger to the Republic. Secretary Clinton won the popular vote and should be president. The only reason Trump won is because of the Electoral College, but the Electoral College can actually give the White House to either candidate, so why not use this most undemocratic of our institutions to ensure a democratic result? People have been writing in to ask, is this real? Can Hillary Clinton still be elected? She actually still could be elected by the Electoral College, even no matter what the you know, any potential recount may say. And in fact, she did win the popular vote. But it's up to the electors. The electors get to vote essentially for whoever they want. In about half the states, they will face some sort of penalty, some sort of fine if they don't vote the way their states have asked them to vote. But in some cases, I think up in Washington state, they'll pay a $1,000 fine if they don't vote, in that case, for Hillary Clinton. But that's it. Now, this petition is actually legitimate. Is it actually possible? Would these Trump electors switch their vote to Hillary Clinton? Well, I guess you have to ask them to know for certain, but it seems unlikely. It seems they're going to face a whole hell of a lot of pressure, maybe even danger, safety issues to them and their families, which is outrageous. But it has been done before. It's been they're known as faithless electors if they don't vote the way their states have asked them to vote. It has been done before, although it hasn't changed the results of a presidential election, as it would be in this case. At least as these folks who have signed this petition are calling for right now, for those keeping track at home. And I know a lot of people have moved on to other things, but right now Trump unofficially has 290 electoral votes. If they get cast that way, to Clinton's 232, there are still 16 more outstanding in the state of Michigan, which the media have not called at all. Some of them have, I should say. So if you include Michigan, it's Trump 306 to Hillary's 232. Essentially, she would have to flip 37 electors her way. So that's a call for electors to vote for Hillary Clinton in the Electoral College, for Trump voters to vote for Hillary Clinton in the Electoral College. I talked to one of the electors today, actually, who is a who is set to vote for Hillary Clinton from a state that Hillary Clinton won. And there is an effort. It started out today at 3. I think now it's up to 6. Six different Clinton electors who are considering not voting for Hillary Clinton, but voting for a Republican candidate, not Donald Trump, but a compromise Republican candidate, in order to encourage Trump electors to also switch their vote from Trump to a Republican candidate, somebody who they could stomach. It's called the Hamilton Electors Project. And I think, is it Hamilton Elector? Well, look up Hamilton Elector online. And maybe we'll talk about that effort more in the days ahead. But yeah, that could happen. all of the surprises we've seen. I said on Election Day and before Election Day that with so many surprises that we have seen this year in the election, anybody who thinks it was going to go smoothly on election night just had not been paying attention. Turns out I was right in that regard, because at that point, pretty much everybody thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. In any case, there is that, and there's also a site called flipthe37.blogspot.com, also an effort to try to flip 37 Trump electors into voting for Hillary Clinton or to voting for someone else. Do I have time for... Well, I can't get into the details here, but the panel of three judges said on Monday that Wisconsin's legislature's 2011 redrawing of the state assembly districts to favor Republicans was unconstitutional. It was a partisan gerrymander, and it is the first such ruling in three decades of legal battles over this issue. It is known that you're not allowed to racially gerrymander, but Republicans have long said, hey, we're not racially gerrymandering. We're just gerrymandering for a partisan advantage. And now a three-judge panel up, federal panel in Wisconsin has said, nope, that's unconstitutional. That is in violation of the 14th Amendment. And also the First Amendment. So that will now go to the Supreme Court. But it has taken all of these years since 2011 to come to this decision. This decision after, we're going to have another redistricting in 2020. And that's going to probably go well for the Republicans because they've spent the last 10 years benefiting from these partisan gerrymanders that are apparently unconstitutional and could shake up the entire nation's political map. But they'll do well in 2020 because of this unconstitutional partisan gerrymandering. It would be nice if Democrats took this sort of initiative, not to do unconstitutional stuff, but to do stuff to aggressively fight for their party, fight for their rights, for their supporters, for people who believe in them, for people who have donated to them, not just the big money donators, but people who have, you know, put small donations towards them. It would be nice if they fought as hard as Republicans do. I'm just saying. All right. Boy. All right. Well, so much to get to, but we'll have to hold that for another day for tomorrow's thrilling broadcast, which I will look forward to. Hope you will as well. My thanks to those of you who help us continue to do what we do here by stopping by bradblog.com/donate. We're doing what we can, but we do rely on your support, so thank you for that. Thanks also to my producer, Desi Doyen, to my guest today, Steve Rosenfeld of Alternet, and to you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's broadcast, you can download it, as ever, like all of them, for free at bradblog.com or over at iTunes. And share what you hear here at Bradblog. Please feel free to share a link to our shows at bradblog.com anytime. You can drop me an email on bradcast@bradblog.com, and on the Facebooks and the Twitters, I am simply The Brad Blog. Until we meet again, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.